Welcome to the Much Chats podcast. This is the podcast with lots of banter and interesting discussions. We are two young professional urban planners finding our way around this thing called life.
Discussing anything from politics to new music, clothes, cars and love.
Vumi and Mzed live in Cape Town, South Africa and enjoy the finer things in life.
Yep, this is your boy Mzed.
And your boy Vumi.
And this is the Much Chats podcast.
Trying new things today.
Yeah, we're trying new things.
Where are we, Mzed? Actually, where are we, dog?
And before we get to where we are, beloved, it's actually a wonderful day in Cape Town.
I think it's evening now.
No, the sun hasn't gone down yet.
No, that mountain's definitely dark.
The word is twilight.
It's really not twilight. It looks a little bit.
Yeah, thank you, Nick.
But it's a beautiful day. It's a bit nippy, but all is well.
Yeah.
Today's a special day. Why is it a special day, beloved?
Because we've got another guest feature.
Oh, who we got? Hey, what are you saying?
We've got the Drifter Breweries crew up in
the
here.
The Drifter Breweries up in here. Give a round of applause.
Thank you.
We're out here.
Yes. So let's do a young introduction. To my right, I have Uncle Nick Bush. Say hi to the people, Uncle Nick.
Hello. Thank you for having us.
And to my far right, I have Anna Banana. Oh, no, I'm not going to say banana.
You just said banana.
I'll go banana. Okay.
Go for it. Try again.
I have Anna. Should I say the full Kling?
Kislingberry.
Kislingberry.
Anderson.
I keep forgetting the Anderson. I just remember the Klingsonbury.
Kislingberry.
Kislingberry. Okay, Kislingberry. And then just gonna have to talk just to make sure that the fans can see you there.
I know, shift how's up because I don't think they can see me.
Oh, no, my bad, dog. Shout out. How you guys doing, man?
Strong as an ox today.
Yeah? You strong as an ox?
Yep.
It's been a great week.
Fantastic week. A lot of drinking beer, a lot of making beer. We've done two brews. We just finished another brew today.
That's what I was actually going to ask you. What defines a great week? Is it when there's lots of beer that's being brewed?
It's mainly there's a lot of beer being consumed and a lot of beer being brewed.
Okay.
The more beer being consumed, the more beer we can brew. And the happier we are and the happier the bank account is.
That's what's important, David.
Look, it's the greenback. The greenback in our case would be a 10 rand note.
No, we just want Mandela's. The Mandela's.
It's the yellow. It's the yellow. Yellow orange, whatever yellow. that color, that 200 rand is.
Oh, it's an orange.
Welcome to the show, guys. It's been a minute.
Thank you.
We've been trying to set this up and through some blunders of our own and then scheduling, it just never came through.
Yeah, no, Isn't that right, Mzed? Yeah, that was definitely our fault.
We're here now.
But guys, let's get down to it. We are here in Woodstock.
Yeah.
We're on the main road, right?
The top one.
Victoria. Where main road becomes Victoria Road.
We're at the Brewer Drifter Company. Hold on.
Brewing Company.
How much beer have you had?
Just one.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, this is the good one. It's the winter one. Yes. But we're here at the Drifter Brewing Company. But I mean, this is not where it started. So we want to know
the story you've probably told 1,000 times.
But you're gonna have to tell it again because it's an important story, and some of our listeners don't know the story. So
let's kick off with Anna Banana. Tell us.
Anna Banana, start from the top.
Okay, cool. I'm from Oregon. If you don't know, Oregon is actually the craft beer mecca of the world.
Oh,
I did not know that.
Specifically
Portland. So Portland has the most microbreweries per capita in the world. Like, I think there's 120 now in the city. So you basically just cycle your little bike around from brewery to brewery, drinking beer. And so I grew up with really good beer. Nick came over to visit me. We went to a couple festivals. But then we went and traveled for a while and did other things and then came back to Oregon. And because of Nick's South African passport. He wasn't able to work in the States.
No illegal work. He will get deported forever.
So you couldn't do anything, Nick?
So I could just hang out and drink beer and brew beer.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's
a good work experience.
A lot of Anna's friends were actually brewers that used to work at breweries. And so I just used to go to work with them every day and hang out and learn how to brew.
That's amazing.
And then it was literally like a light bulb went off, and Nick told me one day, he's like, I want to start a brewery, I want to go back to Cape Town, I want to start this operation there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was pissed. I was really upset.
What?
Not so keen on the idea.
Because we had been traveling, and I thought, oh, if you start a company, it really means you're just committing
just like
to that
that's
one.
It. It's a, yep. You've got roots now.
Yeah, obviously a lot has happened in a few years, and we've still been able to travel, if anything, travel more, maybe not as long of periods, but gotten to go to some cool places. So yeah, that's kind of the beginning.
So that's the inception.
Yeah.
That's
the inception. Yeah. So then it came,
you know, I'm like, Uncle Nick, I was hoping it started down here somewhere.
actually it's the true brewing route started when I was 16 years old.
Well, tell it to us.
So obviously I love drinking a lot of beer, and I couldn't afford any beer, and I couldn't buy any beer because I was underage. So what we used to do is we used to go to Fruit and Veg City for the pineapple special, and we used to buy a bunch of pineapples, chop them up, and first chuck them in the bathtub. Sprinkle a little bit of yeast, a little bit of cinnamon sticks, some cloves with some lukewarm water.
Uh-huh.
Leave it there for 4 or 5 days. And then we would put that in buckets and strain it out, and then we'd drink that. It's delicious.
Let's take
basically, you're just making some pineapple beer. And it's delicious.
In the bathtub.
In the bath, yeah.
Okay. But first of all, how did you know what to do and like what to add? Like, I mean, was it just like natural?
Yeah,
did you have to do some research?
It's
like
called whatever? Google.
Oh, wow. So it was that simple?
No, so it's pretty basic. And you can taste that when you drink it. It definitely doesn't taste like a premium product.
It tastes like fermented pineapples.
And you don't know if it's 7% or 10% or 12%.
That's the good kind. You don't know the percentage. So you're basically just making beer like those guys in prison do.
Mm-hmm.
Using me?
Yeah. Yeah.
Home beer.
Oh, my goodness. So that's crazy.
Proper home brew. So that's what we used to do back then. And so I've always loved making a product and making beer. And then when I was at UCT, I was on the committee at the Yacht Club,
mm-hmm.
and naturally my position was head of all events and drinking. So I was in charge of organizing all the booze, and so every time we ever had a function at the Yacht Club, we used to make about 50 liters of this pineapple beer, and then everyone used to funnel it.
Wait, hold on, so you made the beer at the Yacht Club as well?
Yeah.
So you guys didn't just only buy beer, like you actually made it?
We used to buy beer as well, but then our beer was obviously very cheap, it was like R5 a pint.
And people would get lit off it.
They were very excited.
Oh, wow.
So were you just like the nighty professor when it came to formulating these different, like, were you just like, I don't know what's going to come out in this party, but y'all are going to have a ride.
Exactly.
I feel like the good determinant of whether it was a good beer is at the end of the party to see if, you know, who's
really
still
warm. See how much of the beer had come up again and was on the floor.
Oh, no.
Because that used to happen all the time.
That's a good way to measure. Oh. That's a good way to measure.
Oh.
But okay. No, that's interesting, man. So
we've evolved a little bit more since then. We have a very advanced system in place now.
Oh, no. Before we even get there, Uncle Nick.
very dominant interviewer, this guy.
Just taking over. This is our show. You better ask him.
I'm just gonna sip my beer now.
Tell us about why Drifter? Why Drifter? Why not Cheers beer? Why Drifter? Cheers. Like, I mean, what's the significance in that? Just break it down to us. Yeah, I mean, we want to hear all about it.
I like the idea of a Cheers beer. We could do like we do a brewery where we do a different beer every week because the chairs are always moving. It's a good idea.
I need to patent that.
It's a good
idea.
Cheers beers.
Trademark, actually. I think that's what
they drink wherever you're sitting. Okay, so Drifter was the name of this Drifter on the bottle.
Well, first of all, there were other names in the lineup.
Oh,
and we actually did a little vote amongst our friends and family. We did like a little survey monkey. And Drifter was the bottom one chosen.
Oh.
And even Nick was like, nope, don't want to call it Drifter. And I had already like come up with visions of logos and space and stuff. And I was like, nope, I figured it out.
What was the winning one? You got to tell us what the winning one was.
Drifter.
No.
On the
Legend
survey.
Legend Brewing Company.
We had things like Legend.
Lizard Brewing Company.
No. We had Legend. We had like Yes Brewing Company. We had...
Yes.
Actually, I'll go get the manual with all the names.
Oh, yeah. We actually do.
Grab the list.
I mean, some of the ones, I think even Scallywag Brewing Company was one of them. So some of them we used for names.
For
the
actual beers, yeah.
Thought Scallywag
sounds familiar.
There's the yacht.
Well, we got to get into the name of the boat itself.
So what do we have? Scallywag Brewing Company was number one. Captain Brewing Company. Legend Brewing Company. Wild. Stay Wild. Basement Brewing.
Basement
Brewing Company. Commodore Brewing, Beer Brigade Brewing Company.
I think I like the basement one. Who came up with the basement?
I don't know, because we weren't even brewing in a basement, but...
We were brewing in the garage.
Yeah.
Which is the South African equivalent.
Yeah,
how many houses
actually
have a basement?
Yeah, that's true. So obviously nautical themed, like all of those were kind of around ships and... and then you can tell the story of the actual name Drifter.
So yeah, Drifter was the name of a yacht my dad built about 45 years ago now in Hout Bay.
Mm-hmm.
He spent about 3 years building the boat.
Oh, wow.
At the time, he was working doing diamond mining up in Namibia on the Skeleton Coast. He'd go off diving for like 2-3 months, make some money, come back, work on the boat for a couple of weeks, go back up, work. So it took a long time, but he built the whole boat from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, it was ready. And they shut down the whole town of Hout Bay. They cut all the power cables or the telephone cables to get the boat out of the forest where my parents were living. And towed it all the way down to the harbor and then put it in the water. And it floated. Hurrah.
You know,
it's stuck.
It's really something that needs to be celebrated more. Like a boat, the one thing a boat should do
is float.
Is to float. And I think once you get that right, like you've succeeded really. No matter what you do with the boat. If it floats, it's fine.
Exhibit A. Floating boat. Exhibit A.
If it floats, it's all good. Its primary purpose has been fulfilled.
Mm.
There we go. And then it went about its next purpose. And
that's so intense, man.
Then my mom jumped on board and they sailed around the world on her for 10 years.
That's amazing.
Yeah, very cool. So they went all over the place. Caribbean, Seychelles.
And at that point, Nick's mom hadn't really spent much time on boats. They weren't married or anything. She was just dating this guy building a boat.
And they just...
So I'm like, wow, props to her. She was a brave soul.
Out into the open seas someone she's just dating.
Exactly. And it's like, it's a pretty small boat.
Cute.
I mean, it's like 43 foot. So it's big, but small when you think about...
What's 43 foot?
Oh,
now?
Sorry.
Tell us in meters.
12 meters.
Is that Cape foot? What
meters.
Foot is that?
12 meters.
Oh, no, 43 feet makes it sound like the Titanic or something.
Yeah.
It's like from here to the end there.
That's pretty big.
It's
and
pretty
the
big.
Width, the width
yeah,
of it
it's big, but when you're spending months at
the size of this table.
When you're spending months at sea, it
that's
ain't
about
big.
3 meters.
Yeah. 2 meters. 2.5. We'll see. We'll go for a sail on this. Yeah.
But I feel like sailing the world, that's where you truly realize that the world has no borders. Like what are borders?
Mm.
Like the ocean is such a shared resource that you can't be like one country owns it definitely.
Yeah. And back then, you know, in the 70s, early 80s, there weren't as many people having, you know, the super yacht industry hadn't come about. So, I mean, they've hit some untouched areas, which
that's
now
amazing.
I think is kind of hard to come
by. I mean, but I mean, there's still something liberating about just being able to get in a boat, sail, or
you can pick anywhere on the globe. And be cool. Within 2 months, I'll be there.
Yeah. Storms permitting.
That's a long time.
That's a long time.
But honestly, you gotta be pretty. You gotta be like you gotta have a navigationist.
Well, back then,
navigationist.
You're a sextant.
What is a sextant?
What is a sextant?
It's
over here. I'll show you.
Isn't that thing where they look at the...
at the stars.
You mean
at
a
the stars? No.
You need a compass, right?
And also, like, the difference, though, our friends are crossing the ocean right now, and they're, like, messaging us the whole time. They've got Wi-Fi. They're, like...
Wait, what?
Yeah. Yes.
Times
yes.
have changed.
Yes.
I'm sure Christopher Columbus would have enjoyed some yeah. Wi-Fi.
I don't know. Christopher Columbus would have enjoyed
you
a lot of
tell
things.
Tell us where we are in the world.
Okay, so this is...
This is the original sextant that my father used to navigate when he was sailing.
So this, you basically line this up
so you hold this
with
up.
The stars.
What?
Look at that. And then you look through one of these. with the filter, the sun. And you adjust this. And you'd be like, okay,
it
I'm
like
about
an eye doctor exam.
It tells you about where, though. I mean,
well,
yeah,
it gives you your latitude
angle,
and longitude.
Basically, after a month of math. Then
yeah, look at it. It says Peter Bush on it.
Wow.
This is epic.
So that's the device.
Look at this, man. This is lit.
And there's a whole bunch of tables, and you're going to figure out where you're on the world. It's a dying art, but people still do it these days.
Yeah.
I would like to learn one day.
And to think that people traveled, circumnavigated the globe.
Only on
this,
that. Yeah.
Only on that. And like we get paranoid when we don't have data for Google Maps traffic. You know?
Dog, we get paranoid when our phone is like in the lounge and we're in the toilet. And we can't use it. Like we're like, no, something's going wrong. Like,
and then, I mean, my thing is think about the future. Like this is, you know, what's happening now.
Yeah.
And then what is it going to be going forward? That's
I saw an article about how Swedish people are basically implanting themselves within it, like chips, so that they can like pay for like
I'd love to do that
coffee
I
and
always
stuff.
Use my wallet every
they
day.
Just yeah they just so they, like you know wait hold on is this like a government
nah,
kind
nah,
of
nah.
thing like the Swiss are technophiles as a nation so
yeah.
they love doing anything.
It's
tech
like now
fan
when
they,
you can tap your credit card to pay.
Yeah, exactly.
Just
so that's what they're doing.
Yeah,
they're putting that in like their hands, and even your transportation cards, like your MyCity card. So
can
the
you
Swedes
imagine
are
that
starting
here,
to do that.
People would just like grab your hand,
and chop it off, like buy this.
The future is just you never know. Right, and like you talk to older generations, and they're just like, if I knew that, I'd just be seeing your face from like 10,000
totally.
Ks away. Like you never
crazy.
Totally.
You think you're crazy?
Yeah,
no, that's the thing. But also, where does the future fit in terms of beer? I mean, how much has brewing changed over the years?
Mm. No, in essence, it's really the same principle. It's stayed the same, but the technology's gotten better, so we're able to be more consistent in the brews you make.
Yeah.
And you're able to also be much faster and create a much better, more stable product.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we do here, at least in the last 6 to 7 months, we've been focusing a lot on export trade.
Mm-hmm.
So now we can send our beers all over the world. And that's the idea.
You know, Nick, you were just speaking about my technology adding to, you know, the frequency to which you can produce beer. But tell us about that, because I know you guys embarked on a bit of a journey in terms of you sunk some beers. And that was for a while. So, like, what's the difference between...
Sunk them whims, eh?
Hey, dog, they sunk them in the ocean.
In the ocean.
In the ocean. Not the ocean, the ocean.
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 Yeah. But so in like, our ocean, not in Jamaica.
No, not there. What's the implication of that? Like when you have a beer that you sunk for what, about a year or so?
The last batch was down 13 months, and then last week we actually brought another batch up that was down over 2 years.
Yeah, and like another beer that you what's the uh-huh. shortest amount of time you've used I mean you've needed to make a beer?
So this beer is a very special, specific beer. So actually, if we go back in time, first people used to make beers were the monks. So all of the Belgian monasteries still exist to this day, and they make some of the most famous and best beer in the world. Most of their beers are over 8% in alcohol.
Yeah, like that Duvel thing. That's the only one I know. Like,
yeah, that's one of the most famous ones.
Yeah.
8%.
So 8%. Our one is just over 10%. It's a Belgian Tripel, so it's a similar style. And that beer needs to age for at least a year before it starts tasting really good.
Mm. Okay.
And so we just decided, let's find a really cool place to age it where it's got optimal environment for aging the beer. So it's cold, it's dark, and most importantly, the bottle's moving around the whole time. So it's kicking out that yeast into suspension, and it's helping that secondary fermentation. Okay. It's got another fermentation going on inside the bottle, really slowly over a year period.
Some of them got kicked up a little too much, and we can't find them.
They lost about 200 bottles, at least.
Oh, wow. 200. Because I was wondering.
Floating around
like,
out there somewhere.
Yeah, how do you make sure, like, they're secure? You know, the ocean is, like, constantly, it's dynamic, it's constantly in flux.
Yeah, well, so we learned the lesson the first time, and,
yeah. Oh, it's a challenge.
Some archaeologists, some way down the line. And, like, the crazy things, they'll probably interpret it completely, like, wrong.
For sure.
They'll be like, oh, yeah, this was like a brewing technique, and we can see that they advanced in this way. And like,
no, they just wanted
to. You know what would have been a plan? If you guys just had like a little message, a little paragraph explaining to any future generations that might find a lost bottle. Just say the randomest stuff, leading them the entirely wrong way.
We should do that with our future bottles. Yeah. Put a little note inside each one before we fill it.
Yeah. That would be crazy. Don't you think that's something that people have done before? Like when you find like some
message
people,
in a bottle.
Yeah, or even like people writing in caves, they're like, oh, I'm gonna fuck with these future generations. and it has
There's
nothing to do.
There's me running after a deer and I'm riding.
And they never did it or something.
Yeah.
But I made that comment, I can't remember when, but I was like, just think, you know when you go to like viewpoints and whatever, and there's people who've listened to all this graffiti, it's like J something loves Y something and the crazy stuff like that. So you like, I was looking at that stuff and I was like, how are we so sure that the bushmen and the cavemen didn't sit there and were like, this was like a popular spot that everyone would just like chill and mess around and just scribble things. Now we're out here like defining their whole lives off their graffiti.
And that's the thing. We don't.
We don't. Yeah.
Could very well be happening.
But I mean, guys, look, running a brewery from on our perspective, it looks, you know, glamorous and fantastic. And you guys are always happy. Beer is always available. You know what I mean? But what are the biggest challenges that you guys have found? You can tie it to Cape Town if need be, because that's where you are. But what are the biggest challenges of starting a brewery and actually making sure that it continues to run?
Wow.
It's a loaded question.
It's a very long list, but I think we prioritize challenges. Number one is definitely funding. Mm-hmm. Funding for starting a new brewery and growing.
Mm-hmm.
Competition in the local market, fighting against the big guys. People want to drink their watery Castle Light, and SAB wants to sell their Castle Light.
Ooh.
So they will go into a bar and they will make sure that they sell their Castle Light.
I would argue that that's not even who we're competing against.
No.
You know, we're not competing against SAB because they are massive. You know,
yeah.
Like
not even in the same
thought. But the ones that we're, I mean, I guess our competition is more with mid-level microbreweries like us. And the big difference here versus the States is every bar, the taps are owned by, usually they're owned by the distributor.
Wow.
So a distribution company. In the States, the bar owns the taps. So if I'm a bar owner, I can decide
whatever it takes to buy, and you put them on tap and you pour those beers.
If a distributor owns your lines and say,
or the breweries.
Or the breweries. But then they kind of have a monopoly on wines. And if you're a bigger brewery and have more funding, I mean, putting in taps, those taps are expensive.
Every single, if you want to pour a beer at a bar or restaurant, that's 30,000 rand for that equipment.
30,000
for the
tap
tower, yeah.
No.
And the chiller, the counter. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
There's all sorts of infrastructure,
all sorts of crazy stuff
associated with. So, but if you were to go and get that infrastructure for yourself, would it be a lot more?
Yeah, you gotta pay that.
That's what you
about
pay.
About 30 grand. Yeah.
So then it's good to partner with a distributor who will put that in for you, and that's what we've done. Is like we are with distributors who will do that for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pay for that, but then they own your line, basically.
At
so
that,
they could rip
bar.
You off
yeah.
if they wanted to. Like, they could take you off that line. So that's the hard, you know, it's a hard, that's where I'd say one of our challenges of growth is just getting in more spots.
Distribution.
Also, one of the main biggest things in South Africa right now is our excise tax. So for me to make this beer in this bottle, it costs me more in tax. It costs me to make the beer in the bottle. And unfortunately, in South Africa, unlike America or Europe, they don't have a tiered price structure. So we're paying the same tax that SAB is paying down the road.
Really?
We're making 1,000 litres a day. They're making 5 million.
Even with all this SME legislation.
We must pay the same. Yeah. So that's why we're really focusing on getting our beer out of country. If I export this bottle, I don't pay any of that tax because it's not being consumed in the country.
And is that sad. All the, that's like the luxury tax that came in a couple of years ago?
No, it's called excise tax, just alcohol tax.
Just alcohol, yeah, okay.
So like, it depends on your percentage of alcohol. So when we make our gin, it's 95% of the cost is tax.
Is tax.
Because it's 42%.
That is insane. I mean, there's a whole ministry dedicated to small enterprises.
They're not interested.
That is crazy.
Mm.
That is crazy.
But so I mean, I'd say number one, that is our biggest challenge in terms of making a viable business work.
Yeah.
And then number two, just scalability. So because it's such small margins on a beer, and everyone already complains your craft beer is too expensive, you're still making such a tiny amount, you need to make a lot of volume.
Yeah.
And in order to do that, you need to expand your operation and your business, and you need funding to do that.
Yeah.
So funding is one of the other big challenges.
So now, I mean, in Cape Town, there's a number of brewing companies around.
Mm.
Is there some sort of camaraderie or sharing
for
of information?
Sure.
Yeah, we're all great. We're all really
there's
good friends.
There's some associations and stuff. Yeah,
that's actually very nice to know.
Yeah, we're all like a close knit family. The small breweries. Sometimes there's some bigger ones. That's don't really.
And the more that pop up, I mean, it used to be that we kind of knew almost everyone. And obviously now there's quite a few opening up in the Winelands area. So there's Franchek Brewing Company, Stelly's, Soul Barrel, Hey Joe. There's quite a few. So then they kind of have their, I think, like, outside of Cape Town community. The southern suburbs has a bit of a community. Woodstock, there's four of us here.
Four breweries, yeah.
So.
But, like in terms of history, sorry to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
But in terms of the history of brewing culture in Cape Town, wasn't Woodstock and Salt River sort of like the genesis? Wasn't this like
the old Castle Brewery is just over the road here, in Woodstock, and that was really the start. But I think there's been a whole worldwide trend. That's why the craft or micro-brewed beer, because people always say, oh, it's craft beer. But what is craft beer? It's just beer. It's like anyone else. It's just beer brewed on a smaller scale.
Yeah.
So in the States, they don't call it craft beer. It's called micro-brewed beer.
Oh,
it's just beer.
Yeah,
it's the same.
Yeah.
Whereas here, people are like, oh, I don't drink craft beer. But what does that mean?
Basically, what you're saying when you say that is like you're not supporting a local business. Or a small business. Micro-brewed.
But basically, there's been a worldwide trend over the last 5-6 years that has really been picking up all over the world for people to support smaller local businesses. Mm. Not only in the brewing industry. But back in the day, every single little town and village had a butcher, a bakery, and a brewery.
And a brewery, yeah.
Which is how it should be.
And it's also about supporting, like, I mean, creating different flavors. Because, I mean, we don't realize that mass production of things, especially food, changes the way it tastes. And it dumbs it down to a certain extent.
Yeah.
So...
And using local ingredients.
Yeah, exactly.
Like our Buchu infused gin and tonic.
That is so good.
That's addictive.
Let me tell you something about that Buchu infused. That thing, it comes in so light. I think for me, it's the best summer.
This one. This one is just...
This one right here. This one, it comes in so light. You're sipping it. It's like a summer, nice summer drink.
I mean, I remember when...
As of 1st of August, you can get that as... This in all Checkers liquor stores nationwide.
Oh, wow. What an announcement. We're going to put sirens.
Put a bomb on there.
Just
put a bomb.
Siren and a bomb. We've got this. This
that's actually fantastic. Sorry, I know you're going to come with something.
No.
But as you just mentioned that, aren't there a lot of boxes that you have to tick in order to get your product into one of these like chain stores?
It's quite a thing. We've been working very hard since August last year to get this right, and I just had one of my final meetings this morning with the Checkers team, and we're finally getting there. It's a very, very long, hard process.
It's different from, but Tops is more independently owned. So that, we've been in Tops for a while.
Okay. Yes, that
even
I've
though they're a chain. But Pick and Pay, So the liquor cities
and the top stores, you deliver direct to each store.
Because
they've got their own owners. But Checkers Liquors is obviously all owned by head office. So you deliver to the distribution center, and they send it all around.
So would you say that that's all those like checks and ticking all those boxes in from what you can see, it's all worth it's worth it to put your product in these stores.
Hopefully.
Only time will tell.
As long as people support.
No, man,
I think so.
That's
I
fantastic.
Mean, at Checkers, they want to do sandwich boards for us and like have little like you know
displays. Kind of
displays.
Yeah. No, definitely.
It's because it's such a unique product.
Mm.
Yeah.
So, but yeah. So that's for the Buku.
It's mm-hmm. it's also because it's such a great product.
Yeah.
Like and it sneaks up on you. Actually,
it does sneak up.
Let me tell you that.
Rocking the daisies. The gin and tonics. 2016. What was that?
Rocking the day. Even the launch of the gin and tonic.
That was
stunning.
Oh, the rooftop.
That was the rooftop.
Oh my god,
that was wonderful.
But yeah, so tell us, like, I mean, your brewery. Are you guys? I mean, this is a lovely space you guys have here.
You've got that fancy bottle in the fridge.
Fancy.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe some tasting glasses.
Champagne one. So you guys have this brewery here in Woodstock. Nice building. And you guys also have a bar, and you do.
So retail anyone tastings? Can come here and taste the beers and drink them on site. Ooh, no, not that one. But you can bring that one. Let's bring your bottle of tequila.
Looks like champagne, right?
Like a mini champagne bar.
Champagne.
Like a mini champagne.
Second shelf far left, with the gold wax.
Yeah, so right now we're only open Friday evenings. Mm-hmm. From straight.
Stay tuned this summer. Yeah. We're open many more hours.
Yeah. Okay. So Fridays from about 3 o'clock to 10-ish, Friday mm-hmm. evenings. But mainly we rent out the space for venue hire. So
okay.
A lot of people rent out the space for birthdays, engagement parties, yeah. Bachelors.
No bachelors.
No bachelors anymore. No.
Oh. Did one every get a bit out of...
The last one we had 2 weeks ago, a very drunk person threw a glass at my head.
Okay. Okay, yeah, no. You have to regulate the kind of events that come through.
Yes.
Okay, that's great, yeah.
Because we do have a great space. And it's fun to see people in the space.
Mm.
And we run our own parties as well. So we've done some food banquets here, which have been so much fun, where we do a long table down the middle by the tanks.
Yeah.
We're going to do a little sing-along event coming up.
Karaoke or just...
kind of a mix between karaoke.
Tell them about this. Come on.
Yeah, so I've been wanting to do this for a while.
Okay, let's hear it.
It's called Social Justice Sing-Along.
Okay.
So, setup is quite a thing, and where would we put it? We don't have a TV, etc. Getting all the programs. So we're gonna do. We did it at my birthday a couple years ago, where I actually printed lyrics to songs that people had submitted onto the event.
Yeah.
Songs that they love to sing at the top of their lungs, but would not want to sing it alone in a karaoke mic.
Okay.
And so you get like 50, 60 people in this space singing the same song, like at the top of your lungs, like kind of like what happens at the silent disco too, where people are just like,
but it's just you can hear how off-tune everyone is.
Yeah, exactly. And then part of the proceeds will go to an organization that will designate for that evening.
Okay.
So I think the first
it's
one will
social justice
sing-along.
Yeah.
Social justice sing-along.
So we're gonna do the first one.
SJS.
Yeah,
so the first one will be in August for Women's Day. So it'll be all songs by women. And like, you know, everything from Aretha Franklin to Alicia Keys to, you know.
And we'll have an incredible guest artist here, hopefully.
Oh.
Maybe.
Is there going to be a surprise?
A very big surprise.
Yeah.
No, it's still under contract negotiations, eh?
A friend of ours.
Okay. Yeah, that'll be nice.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I love karaoke, but I think it's very intimidating for a lot of people to get up and sing their one song. And so if you love to sing in the shower, but would like to do it with, you know, 60 people drinking some Buku gin and tonic.
That sounds like the perfect evening.
Yeah, it'll be fun. Yeah.
And I mean, that adds a whole different dimension, because like not only are you guys producing beer here, you're just producing a good time, you've got a good venue.
Yeah, and also some of the events we've had recently where people arrived, they didn't know each other, and then by the end of the evening they're like leaving like with like their arms around each other, and so I think because this space, it's kind of, you know, the ceilings are low, it's almost like you're sitting in a living room sometimes, especially when there's a lot of people, and when people are outside enjoying the view, I don't know, I don't want this space to be like some stiff kind of bar that people kind of feel awkward in.
I mean, this place is definitely inviting. I'll tell you that. Yeah. I mean, and the view is stunning. I mean, it's a.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a small terrace, but it's. It feels homey.
Yeah.
And the I mean, Devil's Peak is just. Oh, wow. Oh, we've got the glasses out here.
It's dangerous now.
Clink, clink.
This is. I didn't drive.
Neither did I.
But
sorry, what were you saying before I really interrupted?
No, we're just talking about events.
It's all good. We're just talking about events and just the warm atmosphere that exists in this place. And it's
I mean, I hate to get all principally of sort, but like, what is your guys' vision?
Vision, huh?
Release me, man. What is your guys' vision for the Drifter Brewing Company? What would you like people to go away with as soon as they open this and taste the beer? What would you like them to feel? I mean, and you can get as deep as you want.
Well, I want them to go through a taste experience to realize that beer is not something that's just bland, like a normal bland tasting lager. It's actually an experience, like when you're drinking a fine bottle of wine. And there's so many different styles of beers and different types. And just want to get our beer out there for everyone to drink and to drink cool different flavors, like the smoke porter you're busy drinking. We actually take the grain and we smoke it at the local butchery on German Beechwood. Oh. And that's where that bacony flavors come through. So it's supposed to be a taste experience. You want them to enjoy themselves.
Tell me a little bit more about
your answer to that question.
That is a big question and something that we've thought about a bit of, like, what are our goals, what are our, like, mission, vision, etc. I think also as time goes on, we kind of can see our trends of the last couple of years too and build on that. And one thing that I think we've been really good at is getting together an awesome crew of people that work for us. So from Zan to Lange to we see the energy. You know, we're young, we're all really young, we're dynamic,
like to have a good time.
It's very important.
Our beers are creative. I think we're thinking outside of the box. So as far as like what I'd like to be known for in the craft beer scene, I think is exactly that, is being creative,
doing
dynamic,
some crazy, crazy, weird, unique beers and growing the segment of the industry.
But just from knowing you guys, like, what I've seen is that, I mean, you guys, whenever people are around you guys, like, it's always a good time, but the stuff that other people don't see a lot, like, you guys work really hard. Like, this is something that's
one
really
of the things owning your own business is you're always working, it's long hours,
and you got to, right?
You got to have a lot of passion.
Yeah, that's important.
Okay, so speaking of crazy weird things,
okay,
so what we have here, this is a beautiful little bottle we get from Italy. So what we've done here is we've brewed a German style Doppelbock, which is an old German type of beer they used to brew back in the day.
Yeah,
it's a lager, but it's 10% alcohol and it's dark, rich, full of flavor. So we brewed that and then we put it in Kentucky bourbon barrels we got from Kentucky State in America.
The land of KFC.
Gosh darn, we're doing a good job. We're tasting good.
Brother.
Okay.
So we aged this in the bourbon barrels, so now this is the result. It's a bourbon barrel aged
double. Okay. And bourbon is something.
Open it.
He's trying to open this thing with a ring opener.
Here's the thing with Uncle Nick. Uncle Nick has a certain swagger. It's a certain swagger.
I've never had someone describe Nick as.
He has mannerisms. He has mannerisms. Where he just calmly opens the bottle with the ring.
His ring opener.
But I won't lie, this bottle is showing in flames.
There's some tools. Okay, so first of all, I want you guys to have a sip. First, have a big smell, then have a sip and tell me what comes to mind.
That looks.
I ain't no Doppelbock.
This is bourbon. This is bourbon.
Right.
Oh, wow. And this has been been in the bottle for how long now?
A week. It was in the barrel for 3 months.
A bourbon barrel.
And we were planning to do longer, but it was actually so bourbony after.
This is so smooth.
This is what I imagine. If there was someone who hated bourbon whiskey, but loved beer,
But still wanted that bourbon taste.
Yeah. Or if they...
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's there.
Or if it's like, if straight whiskey is chewed, like...
Yeah.
Because those people who can't handle whiskey so much, it's even more tame.
So it's got a little bit of alcohol in there as well. Guess how much percentage?
10.
What did you say?
I got that. That was totally good.
That was when I was listening to as well. My ears are small, but that's what they hear.
That's what they hear. 10% alcohol. And tell us what else you're tasting.
I mean, there's a sweetness to it.
I'm getting a bit of a...
Let me lie to myself.
There's a bit of a creamy... A creamy thing to it. What's that creamy? What's that creaminess? There's something creamy about it.
I don't know what you're talking about.
No. Like you know when you're drinking some
like caramel, almost some coffee,
but not coffee so much coffee, but like it's a vanilla.
So some of the malts we use in this beer are you hit the nail on the head there, coffee malt.
You're doubting me, motherfucker.
Yeah. Look, you guessed that.
What do you mean I guessed that?
You guessed that.
No.
And then we also have some chocolate malt, which gives that little lingering sweetness.
My girl would love this. She's into chocolate. No, not like that.
Is she into chocolate, though?
Not like that. I mean,
you
look.
You gave me the look
afterwards. No, I'm just saying. No, she loves, chocolate. Like, you know.
No, but, I mean, this speaks directly to what you guys just said is your mission to just create unique tasting beers.
Yeah.
And, I mean, despite our friendship, that's what got me in love with your brand is that, especially the stranded coconut. It's like,
yes,
it's a coconut but in a beer.
Yeah.
And that sort of blew my mind because I mean up until that point I had only come across like your standard craft beers, like IPAs,
ale, lager,
ales, but nothing with just like that edge, something different to it. This is truly.
So yeah, we like to do that. All the projects we do, and then every 2 months we do another new interesting beer, like a once-off, usually a collaboration with another brewery.
You recently did one, hey?
Yesterday.
The one that recently just got done.
The Tropic of Cola.
Yes, the Tropic of Cola. It was a pineapple-infused
session.
I enjoyed that pineapple one.
Yeah, that was good.
And
then the one that you brewed yesterday will have passion fruit in it.
Coming from down from Limpopes.
Okay,
from Limpopes.
They've been in the news recently.
But you know, guys, as we're talking about this, and I really want to press on this idea of, when you drink the beer, it's about really getting the taste and everything about it. Because for so long, when people grow up, beer is just another way of getting drunk.
Yeah.
And just drinking without
thinking. And just drinking.
Well, that's what your watery light beers that I won't mention names in case SAB Miller gets embarrassed. I mean, I don't want to mention names or anything.
No, you don't have to mention names that
they would produce.
Those
great for a hot day. You just want to drink. You might as well drink some water. But
You can create something easy drinking with the flavor.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
If you want to drink something flavorless, just drink soda water.
I mean, nowadays, price point is not so drastically different. I feel like, some of the bars you go to, you have Black Label, and it's
specifically
like 35 rand a pint, and then it's 40 rand for
a good
beer, locally.
Yeah.
Well, I guess SAB is locally. Brewed,
yeah, you know what? Yeah. It really is crazy to pay like that, those exorbitant prices for beer that's tasteless. It's like, why
open
am
the
I...
Tap. Open the tap.
But like when it's actually flavorful, like this one, like you understand, you're like, you know what, a lot's gone into this, and I'm actually enjoying it, I'm taking the flavors in.
It's about the experience of drinking the beer.
It's remarkable.
It's about the experience.
And on that note, also crazy beers, we've got our Woodstock Winter Beer Festival.
Coming right up.
Okay. When's this?
August 4th.
Okay.
Our own hosted festival.
Yeah, so we started this in 2015 because we came back from Oregon, and Oregon has this awesome winter festival. Obviously, it happens like Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
And all the breweries there, they had to brew a specific beer only for the festival. So like, you couldn't get it any other place. No bottle shops, etc.
Just at the festival.
Mm-hmm. So then we started that 2015, and it's been going since then. And this year, it's at the Castle of Good Hope.
Oh, what a venue!
We've moved to a bigger venue this year.
It's amazing. That's going to be
a lot of people, and we couldn't fit them all in.
Yeah.
And when is August?
August 4th, on the Saturday.
Okay. August 4th, pin that down.
Yeah.
No, down. Much Chance will be there.
1 to
8 p.m.
Yeah,
we'll be broadcasting live.
You guys are going to be broadcasting live.
Live,
interviews.
Yes.
And you got to taste every single beer there. So and give us some of the beers.
Okay, so there's a Malva Pudding Stout coming. Bar One Porter Stout. There's a gingerbread spiced ale.
Chocolate Amarula Stout.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's always a winner.
That Longa Brews.
Hashtag the Black Brewer.
Yeah.
He's making it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Shout out to Langa, actually. Shout out.
Shout out. Shout out to the Black Brewer.
These flavors are sounding amazing.
Yeah.
And it's on August 4th. What's it called again?
Woodstock Winter Beer Festival.
WWBF 2018.
Hashtag we're there.
The castle should be fun.
And tell us about the beer you brewed for this festival.
Oh,
banana. The witches themselves.
Brewed some beer for the festival.
I did. It's called the Poiky Potion.
Oh, wow.
Poiky Potion.
Sounds dangerous, actually.
So Zen and I, you know, we're sitting one day chatting, and then we're like, why has no one made a beer in a poiky pot? Like a big poiky pot. And, I mean, people probably have, but like modern kind of technology. And
I can't imagine.
So we got together with a couple other friends and brewed this massive beer in a poiky pot. And we'll see how it turns out. It's only going to be available at the festival. But we wore our witch's hats all day, and we were...
That's important. You got to be in the mode.
We were putting some spells on it.
Smelling delicious. Just finished its primary fermentation, and now what's getting added? They're adding some more magic
bacon-infused bourbon.
What?
It's actually...
Okay, yeah. you cannot miss this, actually.
August 4th, guys.
Now you cannot miss it. It's August 4th.
The early bird tickets are already sold out. Early bird tickets are already sold out.
So you better get your tickets before they sell out as well.
Yeah.
But you also give us how the tickets are online.
On Quicket, 80 rand or 100 rand at the door.
So you just drop us a link. We'll put it in the description.
What do you type when you go into Quicket?
We'll
drop a link.
Winter Beer Festival.
Yeah. We'll drop a link in the description and then.
Yeah.
Oh, it shows up there.
It shows up.
No, just making sure.
Don't worry. No, that's amazing, guys. I mean, you're creating new beers, you're creating events, you're creating communities. I mean, that's amazing. And also the castle, that's going to be a very awesome venue, actually.
Yeah,
we're gonna
have
a lot of
cool
games.
DJs coming to play.
I hate to be, typical South African, but like I really like about the events that you guys organize and things, and even at the brewery here, you always find a spectrum of people from different backgrounds, different cultures, different races, different age, you know what I'm saying? And they can all come together in their love for tasteful beer.
Diversification
station. That's actually interesting you say that, because we should...
Diversification station. Uncle Nick, thanks, man.
I actually should have mentioned that in the vision mission question, because that is very important to me.
Yeah.
And also, the neighborhood we're in is crazy, and it's like...
Changing every day.
Gentrifying like insanely since we've started here. And so, I mean, every day I kind of do my greeting rounds of all the neighbors, and I say hi to everyone and get to know, because it is going to be very important to, like,
build
a community.
Build
this
community,
support these little mom and pop shops,
because
they're just going crazy.
The babies.
What's that?
Don't worry about it.
No. You need to tell us what's the bubble.
No, don't worry about it.
There's a KZN thing.
No.
You bring your KZN things in.
That person knows who it's for. The corner stores, all those things. It's actually really important to as you say, and to sort of make everyone who in the business community around you feel like, you know, we're all in this together.
Totally.
You know, and I think that's something that's a bit lacking at times, where people feel that they're in competition with everyone, whereas, you know, I know it sounds very airy-fairy, but like when you work together, you grow together,
yeah.
You know? So, yeah, man, I really like the fact that that's a part of your guys' thinking. It's really important, really important, yeah.
Yeah, I know. I mean, sometimes we get comments about like, well, when are you just gonna like bulldoze this whole block and build your massive brewery? And you're like, I'm like, oh my God.
It's not the spirit.
No. Yeah, there's enough bulldozers in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Skyrise is popping up left, right, and center.
But I mean, it's great to see, because I mean, a lot of the times the conversations around gentrification are closely tied to conversations around development, right?
Mm.
And I mean, you guys have developed a business here without needing to destroy, without needing to kick people out, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, the space you're in, I assume, was a commercial property already, right?
Yeah.
So someone who was living here didn't have to move out to make space for this.
Yeah. It just so happens that the way we've expanded over the last couple of years is every time one of the neighbors or one of the businesses was giving notice. For instance, it was an architect studio, and he moved out next door. He needed a bigger premises, moved to town, so we took over the building.
Yeah, yeah.
And then another lady, she moved over to the UK, take another business there. Mm. And so we've only expanded as venues have become available.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a thing about showing how development can be community oriented and can be friendly to a community that it exists in.
Totally.
And it sets an example for any other business that's coming up in the area or in town.
Don't be a bully.
Exactly.
Work with the people that have already been there.
Yeah.
They were there first.
Well, and when we first moved in, oh my gosh, people were just coming over and saying, what's going in? You know, what's happening? Oh, and you know, I mean, predominantly we have a lot of Muslim neighbors. And so I was kind of nervous that they might be like, a brewery. But if anything, I mean, one guy made a joke about like putting his Moroccan mint tea in with our whiskey or something. Like, I mean, I think it hasn't been an issue. And so they've supported us from the beginning. So I feel like now that we have grown, it's our time to also support them.
No, definitely. Yeah. I think we can give them King of the Week, actually.
Yeah, look. Definitely. Okay. You guys can have King of the Week.
What's King of the Week? I'm excited.
No. Well,
it's an honor.
it's become an honor. Unfortunately, for now, we don't have any formal, you know, physical awards to give. But just know that it comes from a special place. It comes from a special place. It's basically, we give it to people or entities that have shown to be exemplary in their field in the past week or years.
Yeah.
And it's quite a stretch, a week, 2 years. Anyway.
Generally, it's...
Can we do King and Queen of the Week?
Yeah.
Yes, no.
No.
In fact,
no,
we need
gender.
To.
King of the Week has no gender. King of the Week has no gender, so anyone can be a king, whether you identify as a female.
Which is why we don't change it. It's always King of the Week. If it's a person, if it's a business, if it's anything, it can be anything
king
and
banana.
Everything. So it comes from a place of appreciation and a place of recognition that you guys are doing something positive in this world.
So are you guys.
Yeah.
We throw the King of the Week right back at you.
Yeah.
Don't worry about us. We'll be all right.
We big up ourselves enough anyway.
I actually want to just one more question. I don't want to be that guy and ask, you know, where you guys thinking you'll be, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, like, what's the end game? Is there an end game?
Growing a profitable, sustainable business in South Africa and supporting this country.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's a hard one, especially as breweries are getting, you know, bought up by bigger breweries.
Mm. And corporates.
And, you know, because people ask us, like, well, if someone... You know, Heineken approached you and said, "Oh, well, but we'll buy you for $10 billion." It's like, well,
it's not that much. Either. $10 billion.
So that's a hard question. Like, what would we do in that scenario? Would we ever get to that point? I don't know. Yeah.
But you guys just want to continue the way you've been continuing, and like, hopefully, nothing will change in terms of your philosophy about going about
business. For sure. We just want to make sure we do good business and help growing the community. And one of the things we've done recently is we've opened up the actual business and the ownership of the company to anyone that wants to get involved. So we just finished a big equity crowdfunding raise.
Mm.
And so we have now 280 people that own the business with us.
Okay.
So
and that made some waves, wasn't it?
It's a bit of pressure there.
It broke. Was it some record?
First company in South Africa to ever do that.
Congratulations. Another bomb.
Another bomb
is there. that's fantastic.
We've been wanting to do that for a while because there are other breweries overseas where they've done that, and it's the idea of like the community
brand.
Yeah, exactly.
Why not?
Whether it's in the States, the Green Bay Packers are community owned, so there's not like some big conglomerate that owns the football team. They're an American football team.
There's it.
They're massive.
The Packers. Oh, I didn't know they were community owned.
Yeah, they're not owned by any one big. I think they go through.
Look, I've heard them in movies.
Where are they from?
And if they're in movies, they're okay.
Wisconsin. That's where Zan's from. Zan's from Green Bay.
But if they're in movies, I've heard them.
They just have a good history, maybe. But right now, they're
probably
but
still, they're...
anyway.
Besides the point.
So, we've been wanting to do that for a while. So, it was cool. I mean, Uprise Africa, they're the ones that helped build this platform to make it happen.
So, is it a wrap now? No one else can join if they want
to? It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
Stay tuned for the next one in 2 to 5 years' time.
Okay. So maybe there might be some possibility where we can just get in and just be a lot more expensive now.
It'll be the same price as share. It just might be worth a little bit more.
That's great, guys. We really thank you guys for giving us your time.
Thank you.
It's been amazing chatting with you guys.
Of course.
Yeah, I don't know.
Thank you so much for inviting us into your space.
We
don't have the biggest following, but you know,
We take inspiration.
Yeah. And every interview we do, every episode we do, there's something we get from that. And I know that, you know, when we go back and we listen to this interview again, you know, there'll be more gems that we can pick up. And we really appreciate your guys' time. You guys, you're busy guys, but we appreciate it. Thank you so much for joining us. And we wish you nothing but
prosperity.
That's
the
one.
There we go.
We need a little clink, a little cheers.
Yeah, we'll make some noise here.
Cheers.
Thank you so much.
So let's get out of here.
We should head out. Listen, Vumi, next week. Wait, when are we gonna post this actually? Because we were a bit late with the other one.
Yes, we were a bit late with the other one. Look, regardless. I mean, the video is going to be available immediately. We're going to save the live broadcast. So it's going to be on our Facebook page. And then the actual podcast is going to be available next week.
Yeah.
I think we'll put it up on Monday just to kill people's Monday blues.
Just
give them
control.
Something.
Yeah,
just for control.
Nice.
Yeah, so we'll post it Monday around 11 o'clock. Which is the time we've scientifically proven where people lose their focus in the office and start going
really,
on to Facebook.
It really is.
Yeah.
Really is. And they just tune into Facebook.
We start to think about lunch and...
Lunch you start
so
to wander.
Away.
Yeah. But yeah, let's get out of here, man.
This has been your boy Mzed.
Your boy Vumi.
And this has been...
Uncle Nick.
There's it.
And a banana.
And this has been the Much Chess Podcast.
Oh, no, that's my line.
I know, but we're switching it up.
Okay. I'll allow you this time. But thanks so much for listening, guys. Have a good one.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Danke.